everybody. This is Martin Zender broadcasting from my Fort Lauderdale studio in Fort Lauderdale, Florida. I'm also known as the home of Waylon and Regina Dabbs. Thank you, Waylon and Regina, for offering me your computer room that has now become the Martin Zender Fort Lauderdale studio. My voice is a little rough. It's been going to pot for the last 2 days, but we're going to persevere here. Today, just got done swimming in the ocean. Yeah, that was rough, but it's January the 8th, and the air temperature was 80 degrees, and the ocean temperature was 75. I really needed this. This is great. It's an amazing blessing. Tonight, I'm going to do a live Skype broadcast to a church in Faith, North Carolina. There's a Bible study going on there. I guess Waylon used to belong to this church, and there's a congregation here. What's the name of the guy who runs it? A guy by the name of Alan Hess. He's doing a good job up there. He's teaching the salvation of all. And there are 60 people in this church. Not all of them are like, you know, jumping headfirst into it, but come on, that's a crowd. I didn't know about this. So I was excited to learn about this. I'm going to hopefully try to get up there and see what's going on. I want to be in North Carolina beginning of February. I originally said end of January, but now it looks like I'm going to have to defer that a little bit. So those of you in the Charlotte area, stay tuned. And also in Faith, I'm going to be talking to you tonight over Skype between 7 p.m. and 8 p.m. So I'm excited about that. I've never done that. It's like, I am the great and powerful Oz. They're going to be looking at my face on a big screen. I'm going to pull the Wizard of Oz thing. I am the great and powerful Martin Zender. Pay no attention to that moron behind the curtain. Laura Graham, you sent me a very nice email. I'd like to respond to it, but you didn't give us a return email address, so if you can drop me another email with your return address, I'd be happy to answer you. This weekend, Saturday, you're going to have a meeting here at the home of Waylon Dabbs, and reservations are still available. Operators are standing by. The address, 5635 Northwest 101st Drive, Coral Springs, Florida. The meeting is at 1 p.m. and you can call Waylon. Operators are standing by, I told you, at 954-868-2287. Man, I hope my voice holds out for the Skype broadcast tonight. 2 Timothy 2:2. Paul tells Timothy, be invigorated by the grace which is in Christ Jesus, and what things you hear from me through many witnesses, these commit to faithful humans who shall be competent to teach others also. Paul is very concerned about this, as we've been saying. Now, Paul's instruction to Timothy all through this letter, it's very personal and it's individual. It's written to Timothy. You know, this is not a general church epistle. It's to this guy, Timothy. And Timothy obviously rolled it up and saved it. Thank you, Timothy. All the believers in Asia that had embraced Paul's message were now disaligned from Paul's teaching and from his instructions to the ecclesia. They turned away from him, and now they have begun embracing a religious system. And actually, it's a Christian religious system. No, I kid you not, it is. It's Christian, because the circumcision were called Christians. Paul's believers were never called Christians. When people ask me, are you a Christian? I say, no, I'm a believer. I'm a member of the body of Christ. I'm not a Christian. Oh my gosh, there's so much baggage and stereotype associated with Christian. Paul never referred to his people as Christians. So the Christians were the circumcisionists, and they're the ones that mixed elements of the law into grace. And that's what Christianity does today. They mix elements of law in with grace. It's a hodgepodge. It's a messed up gospel. It's an amalgamation of disparate teachings. And Paul would spew it from his mouth. And he places an anathema on it in Galatians. Whoever should bring you a gospel other than that which we bring you, let him be anathema. Even if an angel shows up, and no, don't listen to him. And without Paul's message, that's all you got left is religion. All you have left is a mess, is a grab bag of different ideas, different thoughts, that when you put them all together, they don't make any sense. When you keep them distinct, they make very much sense. So Timothy himself now finds himself outside the activities of the system. And you would be tempted to think he's a lone ranger, but no, he's not, because he has Paul. And there's always a faithful few who believe this message. But they were dwindling, and that's why Paul's writing Timothy. Now, Paul, in this whole book, he never tells Timothy anywhere to go in and see if he can, you know, fix the churches in Asia. See if you can go turn the tide, Timothy. No, he never does. And the reason is, I'm going to read this to you. 1 Corinthians 15:33. Evil conversations corrupt kind characters. I need you to remember that. Evil conversations corrupt kind characters. You are a kind character, ladies and gentlemen. You are all kind characters out there. And you believe in the truth. And some of you think that you're going to infiltrate your wasteland, i.e. your particular church, and bring them to the truth. But they're evil conversations, and that's just what it is. And I'm not talking about evil conversations like they're talking about going out for a drink after church, or they're talking about watching an R-rated movie, or going to some club. No, evil conversations have to do with telling lies. You're teaching lies about God and disparaging the name of God and blaspheming the name of God. That's evil conversations, and they will corrupt kind characters. The one good apple in the barrel full of bad apples does not fix the other bad apples. The other bad apples will corrupt the good apple, and that's what's going to happen in church. So Paul doesn't send Timothy in there to fix them. Instead of ministering to a congregation or a church, an assembly, or Timothy, go talk to the parishioners. Not, all this stuff is language of today, but today it's just like it was in the day when Paul was writing to Timothy. It's just gotten worse. It's not just the same, it's worse. Paul tells Timothy, find faithful humans. One person at a time now. See, Timothy was to seek out faithful humans to whom he could commit Paul's message. It's individuals. This message is going out one at a time. I've given up on the vast movement. I've given up on that a long time ago. And my work has been far more satisfying since I've done that. Now I'm going to one person at a time. And that is so relaxing because I remember Waylon said he was a little nervous, like, what if not many people show up to the meeting? I said, Waylon, it doesn't matter if one person shows up or if only you and Regina are here. That's fine. I have no agenda. I'm not out to reach the multitudes, to talk to my parishioners or an assembly or in a church. I mean, yeah, it's great that I'm going to be talking to that church in Faith, North Carolina tonight live on Skype, but that's an exception to the rule. And what they have in Las Vegas, that's an exception to the rule. And what they have in Colorado Springs, that's an exception to the rule. And I thank God for these ecclesias. They're all in one place. One thing, this might tell us that we're close to the end of the era. So there are people, if you do have anybody you can get together with, just, I know, embrace it and don't take it for granted. I told the Colorado Springs ecclesia that over and over again. Do not take for granted what you have. And I'm telling you the same thing, and I'm going to tell that group in Faith, North Carolina. Great name for a town. It's in Faith, North Carolina. I'd never heard of it, so stay tuned. I think we're going to hear more about it. So Paul had no thought of Asia ever being revived. Again, you never heard the word revival with Paul. The Holy Spirit decides when it's going to act, and it acts on individuals. And if these individuals happen to live in the same zip code, that's very advantageous. So because of the apostasy, he's telling Timothy, concerning the ministry of the word, that it's now become very narrow and intensely individual. And the importance of faithfulness, I need to point this out to you. Paul says, moreover, in 2 Timothy 2:2, these commit to faithful humans. Faithful humans. 1 Corinthians 4:2, we read of a similar phraseology. Moreover, it is required in an administrator that any may be found faithful. Faithful. You have to keep at it. You can't be fly by night. You know, you can't just try to get your feet wet. These other individuals that Paul wanted Timothy to reach, Paul wanted serious people who saw the sobriety and the importance and the necessity of this call. And we know Paul didn't tolerate fools in this department. You remember he would not take Mark with him on the second missionary journey because he had abandoned him on the first. Barnabas wanted to take his cousin Mark. Paul says, no, he bailed on us. And Paul wants faithful humans. He doesn't want to train somebody and then have them, you know, jump off ship and go join the Foreign Legion like Demas did or others like him. No groups, no congregations, faithful people. This message is not going to the masses, and it's not going to the masses today. And when you realize that it's not going to the masses, things go a lot better for you. You calm down. when you realize that you don't have to reach everybody. That means you can be patient and you can wait for the Spirit, and the Spirit will move you to talk to individuals. That's where it's at now. This is the last letter Paul left us with. That's the state of affairs then. It's the state of affairs now. And also, it's really helpful to know that there's no such thing as eternal torment. This allows you to be able to reach small groups or, again, individuals. Because when we used to believe in eternal torment, we felt it was up to us to save people. I don't know how many people I've talked to used to believe that it was up to them to go out and save people. And really, they could hardly lay their head on the pillow at night without feeling guilty. Is there somebody I could have talked to today? Did I miss an opportunity? And you can't even go to a restaurant and enjoy the meal because you have to witness to the server. And it's just terrible bondage. And I'm not saying you don't want to be attuned to the Spirit, but be attuned to the Spirit, not your flesh. Calm down. This allows you to calm down when you know that God's going to be all in all, and that salvation does not depend on you. It depends on Christ. I love an E.W. Bullinger quote here. He's commenting on this passage in 2 Timothy 2:2. Puts it very bluntly, right to the point. No reference to bishops and ecclesiastical organizations. I love that. No, that's right. So it's a shame when you look around today, we are surrounded in the so-called churches with unfaithful people. And when you see all the energy and the money and the resources that are spent trying to get people just to join the church to become regular attendees so that they can put chicken scratches on the wall. Bark, 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 bark. This shows you how far we have turned away from Paul. No, it's not about numbers. It's not about just getting people to show up. It's not about having the best-looking building. It's about the message. That's what we're about here. That's what I'm about. I'm glad you're about it, too. Hope to see those of you who I can. And in Florida here, if you're anywhere in the neighborhood, you know, like Maryland, Georgia, Maine, Oregon, Wisconsin, come on down. I love you all. We'll talk to you tomorrow.